to God's designed and planned destiny for our lives. Everyone has this design and this destiny that God has set before us. All of us. And by our choices, we get there. And God has it established already. Now listen, sometimes we get sidetracked on other things and it's not where God wants us to be. And sometimes we allow problems and persecutions to disrupt us and get our vision off of what God really wants in our life to go on. We have to persevere. Perseverance is where it's at. It's not just getting distracted. It's not getting discouraged because a few things come up that we just don't like or don't agree with. It's persevering for Christ. It's said that stopping on third base adds no more runs than striking out. You think about it. A guy hits a good ball, long drive, and he's running around third, and he stops on third. Well, listen, there's no more points on that than if he would have struck out. In our lives, take the spiritual meaning behind that. If we just give up or strike out, there's no difference if we quit along the way. We can't quit. We have to persevere. And today in Daniel 6, we move into chapter 6, and we see a new king over Babylon now, King Darius, from the Medes and Persians who overthrew Belshazzar last week. And here we are with Daniel, over 80 years old now. And God has blessed him tremendously through all the things, all those narratives that we read over the last weeks. And we see God over those years blessing him more and more and more. To where now he's head administrator, like the prime minister of over Babylon. He started out with nothing, and now he's prime minister. Listen, God has a designed destiny for your life and for mine. We may not be able to see it, but God has it there for us. Will you persevere to see where God brings you? If you have your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 6, the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 6. And we actually read one of the most beloved stories or narratives in the Old Testament about Daniel and the lion's den. Daniel and the lion's den. Last week we saw where Daniel gave King Belshazzar the news that night was going to cost him his life because he disobeyed God and he took those honorable things that were for the Jewish worship, those things out of the temple, and he desecrated them. They were drinking and getting drunk out of those golden and silver goblets, and God had had enough of it. And that night the king lost his life at the hands of the new king, King Darius, who had besieged Babylon. So now King Darius is in charge. And overall, he's a pretty good guy from most of the things that we can read about him. And now we see where he is in charge and Daniel has been promoted. We begin in verse 1. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators and prefects and satraps and advisors and governors, have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, king, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in the writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree to which you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the rings of the nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to the palace and spent the night without eating, without entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of the dawn, the king got up and hurried to the den, lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continuously, been able to rescue you from the lions?" And Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions, that they have not hurt me, because I have been found innocent in his sight. Nor have I done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And at the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's pray together. Father God, today, as we read this account of Daniel's life, well up in age now and still faithful to you, regardless of what kings or governments would say, he was still faithful. Faithful in his prayer time, faithful in his obedience to you, and God, you blessed him. God, you had great plans for Daniel all along. And God, as we read this narrative, we realize that you have great plans for each of our lives. God, we may not see it now. We don't know where you're taking us. God, we may think that retirement is here, and God, you're just beginning. Oh, Father, today, thank you. Thank you that you never give up on us. Thank you that you are there with us to walk with us till we reach the place that you have designed for each of us. In Christ's name, amen. God has a divine destiny for your life and for mine. Divine destiny awaits in the hand of Almighty God, yet he chooses to collaborate with us to design it for our perfect fit. That's what's amazing about God, is God has this destiny that we're all going to, but he allows us to collaborate, to work with him, to make choices in our life, to design it specifically for us, because it's none of us are alike. We're all different. There's no one identical to you in all the world. So God can't say, oh, here it is, one size fits all. No, he has a specific future for each of us, just like he did for Daniel. There are five lessons we can learn from this passage. So we journey with Jesus to fulfill our life purpose. The first lesson is this, is that God's plans, that planned destiny for our lives, your life, is more magnificent than your dreams. Listen, we all have dreams of who we are. We all have dreams of where we want to be and what we want to do. But listen, God's design for us is far better than anything we could ever imagine. Listen, I think back 25 years ago, I could have never imagined where I'm at today. Never imagined where God wanted me to be at. And maybe you think back where you are, where you were 25, 30 years ago in your own life, maybe 10 years ago in your own life. It was a far different place than you are today. And where you are today, you don't know in 20 years, 10 years, 15 years where you'll be. God has a plan. Verse 3 says, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him up over the entire kingdom. Daniel's life set him apart, and the king noticed it. See, Daniel had been in Babylon about 70 years, and he had witnessed kings come and kings go. He started out with King Nebuchadnezzar years and years before. There were three kings in between, and King Belshazzar we talked about last week. Then he's on King Darius, and Daniel's still there trucking. He's still there. Yet over the years, God was with him. He progressively ascended in power and authority in Babylon. So Daniel was not just a servant. He continuously gained more authority and more power. He kept getting promotions because of God's blessings in him. Through all the changes, Daniel remained faithful and grew in wisdom. He grew in knowledge, and God enlarged his divine wisdom and his intuition. God continued to bless him because he was faithful to God. Even in the small things, Daniel was faithful. And when God gave him bigger things, Daniel was still faithful. When God increased him more, Daniel was still faithful. Listen, we can learn a valuable lesson from that. That it doesn't matter where we are today, even if we're in charge of very small things, be faithful. Because God is using that to grow us up to the next level. Be faithful. God will use that to grow us to where he wants us to be. Each new monarch came test to Daniel's faith. And with each event, God delivered Daniel and his friends. And the king would promote him. Now Daniel is the prime minister of Babylon. He began as a Jewish captive, and now he's over the entire country. Daniel was captured in Jerusalem. He witnessed family being slaughtered. He was carried 1,000 miles across the desert over to Babylon. Listen, his heart wanted to be in Jerusalem. He wanted to stay in his homeland. He wanted to grow there where God's blessing was flourishing. But he was taken away to a foreign land. Yet God had a plan all along. God didn't need Daniel over in Jerusalem. God needed Daniel over in Babylon. Listen, I don't know where you are today, and maybe your heart is to be somewhere else, but God doesn't need you there right now. God needs you right here where he has you for a particular time, a particular season, and a reason that maybe you can't see yet. I've learned this. The older I get, the more I look back over my life, and everything I've gone through was a learning opportunity. It was a time of growth and learning. And there are some things I wish were different, but I look back now and I said, I wouldn't change a thing. Maybe you feel the same in your own life. God had a plan for Daniel all along. On the horrific journey through the wilderness and desert, Daniel did not know what his future looked like. At best, he thought he would be a servant or a slave. At best, a slave for the rest of his life. And God had a planned destiny for Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Daniel was a prisoner. Now he is the prime minister. Get that. He was a prisoner, now he's a prime minister. God's plan for Daniel was bigger than his dreams. What are your dreams for your life right now? Doesn't matter what age you are, you still have dreams, you still have goals. You still have things that you want to accomplish. God's dreams for you are bigger than your own. Will you trust him? How you start out in life is not as important as how you finish. See, for some people here this morning, you're still living like a captive, a prisoner, even though God has set you free and designed your life to be a prime minister. The dreams you have for yourself, for your children, for your grandchildren, are small in comparison to the destiny that God has designed for you. You see, most of us think the designed destiny to be great, we think we need a lot of money. No, that's the world's definition of greatness. That's not God's definition of greatness. See, don't let good things crowd out God's best for you. Don't let good things in this life and what you want for yourself crowd out what God wants for you. You have the choice to settle for mediocrity or for magnificence. You can settle to make an impression in others' lives, or you can make an impact in their lives. Listen, if I just want to make an impression in people's life, all I need to do is just go to church and not cuss. And people say, whoa, that's a good man. He goes to church. You don't hear bad things come out of his mouth. He's just a good man. I've made a good impression on him. Listen, if I want to make an impact in their life, I'll share Jesus with them. If I want to make an impact in their life, I'll pour and invest into them that's changing them. It's not just impressing them. Now it's changing them. You can settle just to make an impression on others' lives, or you can make an impact. Or are you living in such a way as to line your life up with God's great future? Or are you living your life today, this summertime day, to line your life up with Christ? Where does God want you? Where's the destiny that God has planned for you? Are you trying to just do your own thing and follow your own dreams and kind of chase things out there? Or are you saying, God, what do you want from me? That's where I want to be. God has a destiny far greater than your dreams. The second lesson is this. There will be people who conspire to sabotage your purpose and disrupt your faith. So as you're walking with God and you're impacting other people's lives and you're headed toward that great destiny that God has for you, there will be people who try to trip you up. Verse 4 and 5 says, then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault to find in Daniel. The way he was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn him. He was faithful, always responsible, completely trustworthy. So they concluded that the only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel would be in connection with the rules of his religion. I said, listen, his work is flawless. What he's doing, he's growing his business, the business of the king. He's doing great things. The only thing that we might can... Mike can get him on it is that when he goes to pray, we can get the king to enact a law that all prayers should go to the king and not to the gods. Now, the rulers and administrators of Babylon, they're just simply jealous of Daniel. They despised him, his excellent work, his moral character, his values, his giftedness. These men realized that they could not find fault in the work or his character. The only way they could get Daniel deposed was through a violation of his religion. See, these diabolical colleagues met with the king to plot and to scheme against Daniel for his demise. These evil men requested the king to enact this law forbidding anyone to worship anybody else but the king for 30 days because they knew Daniel was going to go pray. And Daniel prayed 3 times a day, opened his window toward Jerusalem. Oh, listen, his heart was totally toward God. So the king enacted this law and bound it with his own signature. These men wanted to see Daniel fail in his life come to an end. Their jealousy ignited a bitterness that demanded satisfaction of destruction. They wanted Daniel out of the way. Who was this Jew guy from Judah? Who was this Jew coming over here and running all Babylon for us? Boy, they were jealous. See, on your way to the wonderful destiny that God has planned for you, there will be others who are jealous and envious of your ascent. When things are going good in your life, not everybody's happy for you. Not everybody's applauding for you. Not everyone is there to encourage you. There are those who are jealous. And there are those who want to knock the feet out from under you. Who do you think you are? Man, they get all the breaks. There are people who will lie about you. They will gossip about you. They will smear your reputation. They will slander your name. They will turn others against you. Some evil-intentioned people may even bring false charges against you in an attempt to destroy you, your career, your reputation, your finances, your marriage. There are people out there who will gun for you when you're obeying God and walking with Him. There are people who do not want to see you succeed. There are associates, there are bosses, there are educators, there are teachers, there are professors who would try to discourage you through negative criticism. Man, they just want to hold you down. See, their criticism is good when it's positive, encouraging. You know how when someone is criticizing you in the right way, they pull you aside when nobody else is around and they give you insight to help you improve. They're not trying to mash you down. They're trying to help you improve. Listen, we can appreciate that. When people want to see us succeed and they see a few flaws that they can help us with and identify with us, maybe we didn't see it. We need that. The person who is trying to knock your feet out from under you and try to hold you down is the one who will embarrass you in front of other people, who will criticize you and say negative things about you and to you about something that you did in front of others. That's not positive, constructive criticism. That's someone who's trying to hold you down and push you back so that they would look good. You need to move away from those people very quickly, if possible. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Listen, our plans are one thing. The plans of other people to come against us is one thing. But the Lord, His will prevails. His purpose prevails. Don't fall victim to the schemes of others who seek to keep you boxed in from growth. Let the naysayers talk. Let them gossip. Let them scheme. God's will for your life is where you're growing to. You notice I didn't say just going to. I said growing to. Don't get sidetracked by people bent on discouraging you and disrupting your faith. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get so bent out of shape over them. It's a growing experience that God has for you. I like what Richard Sibb says. He said, God takes a safe cause with His children, safe course with His children, that they may not be condemned with the world. Now listen close. He permits the world to condemn them that they may not love the world. Because the world hates them. God will allow those negative people to come say things against us and try to hold us. God will, because it leaves a bitter taste in our mouth. And we don't want to be associated. We don't, you know what, when someone else criticizes you and tries to hold you down, you're less likely to go do it to someone else. Because you know how bad it hurts. You know the pain. You know the sting. And you don't want to be condemned like the world. So God allows us to get a taste of what that ugliness is so that we can grow from it. So that we don't fall into be very critical and jealous and scheming against others. Third lesson is this. Persist in your worship of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, live in obedience. Verse 10 tells us, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went to his home, knelt down as usual. I like that. As usual, in his upstairs room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he prayed three times a day, just as he'd always done, giving thanks to his God. Even though the king outlawed Daniel's religious practices, the king could not quench Daniel's unwavering faith. Even though there were laws against it, God's law was more important. He says, Daniel went to his place of private worship as usual. Do you have a place of private worship as usual? Could be your recliner, could be your bed, could be in your car, could be in your office, could be in your favorite chair, could be on the front porch, the back porch, the patio, the swing outside. It's just you and God. Daniel was persistent in his faith and exalted God as his Lord, Savior, and deliverer. Daniel knew the king's orders and he recognized the rule over the nation. Yet Daniel honored God above all kings and all kingdoms. Let's be honest. Sometimes we won't honor God over our own selves. We won't honor God over our favorite TV program. We won't honor God over a baseball game or a football game. We won't honor God when family stuff comes together. We just push them aside, push God aside. We won't honor God when we're tired. Oh, so many excuses. So we can learn a lesson that we must honor God above all things. The Lord is greater than any sports athlete, any movie star, any famous singer or band, or military hero, or president, or political figure, any judge. See, the Lord, He is Almighty. We're not to push our worship of God aside for anyone or for anything. When we allow other people and events and things to consume our worship time, we lose that time with God. Did you ever think about that? The time that maybe we've been so faithful and we'd spend our quiet time with God and boy, something else has come up, so we've just kind of pushed that aside. Quiet time with God usually one of the first things to go. So we get busy doing something else and we just kind of push God aside, not just a day, not just a week, for months and months and maybe even years. And we've allowed something else to steal our time with God. We become so relaxed in our boundaries and we allow other good things to steal away the God things in our life and in our future. See, the only way we realize the destiny of God has prepared for us is to stay obedient and stay the course with Him. We may miss out on some fun stuff to be obedient to God. Listen, we may miss out on some family stuff to be obedient to God. We may miss out on some recreational stuff to be obedient to God. But don't let other things steal your time with God. Are you losing God time for a good time? Because really, your God time is a good time. Dallas Willard said this, is in many cases, our need to wonder about or be told what God wants in a certain situation is nothing short of a clear indication of how little we are engaged in His work. Sometimes we're going around searching for God's will. What's God's will for my life? What's God's will for my life? Sometimes we just need to quiet our spirit down and say, God, what's your will for my life? And be focused and persistent. Persevere through to where God wants us to be. Mother Teresa said it this way. Says, be faithful in small things because it is in them that your strength lies. You see, the very things that we sometimes push us in is this. God proves himself to be faithful at all times. God proves himself to be faithful at all times. See, Daniel's faithfulness came with a price to him. The king declared in his law that anyone who violated that time of worship for those 30 days would pay a high price to be thrown into the lion's den. We see that from verse 19 through verse 23. Listen, King Darius had gotten very fond of Daniel because Daniel was very sharp. He was making him a lot of money, and he could be trusted with anything. Matter of fact, he was fixing promoting from just an administrator up to prime minister. And all these others were very jealous. So King Darius really, really liked Daniel. And he wasn't thinking about Daniel and his faith to the Jehovah God, the one true God. So he signed it in the law, and then he realized when Daniel was caught praying, oh no, what did I do? I'm going to lose my best man. I'm going to lose my prime minister. I'm going to lose the one that I trust the most out of anyone in this kingdom, because he was praying to his God. And all these other leaders came up to him and said, oh no, king, you signed it. What the Medes and the Persians signed in the law, it stays in the law. You can't change it. He has to go to the lion's den. The king had to keep his word. And listen, he couldn't sleep. When Daniel was thrown to the lion's den, the king could not sleep all night long, and he came the next day to find Daniel, where are you? Looking for him. You know, and for all practical purposes, the lions should have shred Daniel and devoured him, but God sent his angel to turn those vicious cats into docile kitties. God proved himself faithful to Daniel during this disturbing time, and God honored Daniel's obedience and exhibited great grace to Daniel and the lions and to the king and to the kingdom. You know, the angels could have gone in there and killed all the lions, but God saved the lion's life too. And because Daniel was saved, the king and his kingdom flourished. God showed grace to all of them. Daniel was dedicated to the Lord, and the Heavenly Father received him, rescued him from this imminent death. It says, listen, when we have nothing left but God, we discover that God is enough. Daniel, thrown into the lion's den, had nothing else. He didn't have any cat food with him. He didn't have a deer that he could have thrown to him. He was bait. Daniel had nothing but God. He soon found out that God was enough. Realize this in our own lives. When things seem to be falling apart, God is enough. As we journey with Jesus, our obedience marks our spiritual growth and enlarging of our faith. God's faithfulness does not move, weaken, or waver. He's consistent. He's compassionate. And he's a companion to us. God, his love is so great. He's with us through our tragedies, through our dangers, even the things that we cannot even comprehend. See, God is steadfast all the time. God brings safety into our lives, even when we don't see it. There's so many things that goes on in our lives that we can imagine. They're just like those lines. Maybe it's people saying things. Maybe it's tragedies. Maybe it's car accidents. We don't know what's going on out there. We don't know what's coming against us. And we don't know how many times God has saved us. How many times God has backed things off from us? How many times he shut the lion's mouth in our behalf? Those times when the events of life or circumstances or people were about to consume us, and all of a sudden things changed. God took control of it. He intervened and he shut the lions down, if we could just use that as an illustration. You know what? Most of the time we don't think about all the times God saved us. Most of the time we're so focused on those few times we've gone through the hardships, gone through the difficulties. And we say, why? Why didn't God save us from this one? Why didn't God do the great miracle? Well, because God sometimes wants us to know what it's like to walk among the lions and experience the power of God to silence the very things meant to destroy us. God allows us to go through things so we can see His hand moving all along, so we can depend upon Him, so we can understand what it's truly like to be totally dependent upon Him. The fifth lesson, and we're closing. Your faithfulness will make an impact in lives, not only an impression. Daniel was rescued, yet the king had Daniel's adversaries thrown into the lion's den. Listen, when people come against you, when situations are there, well, God will take care of them. Don't worry about people who's running their mouth about you. Don't worry about the people who you feel unjustly accused you or criticized you and seemed like they got away with it. No, God will take care of it. God said, vengeance is mine. And if there are people causing strife in your life, remember that their actions will catch up with them. More importantly, God's faithfulness to your obedience to Him will impact others. King Darius said this in verse 26 and 27. So I declare to everyone throughout the kingdom should tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for He is the living God, and He will endure forever. This kingdom will never be destroyed, and His rule will never end. Oh, you see, the king had in mind already when he saw Daniel come out of that lion's den unscratched, nothing going on with him. This king believed God. And not only the king, but it made an impact in the entire nation. It was said that we should recognize that every interaction that we have is an opportunity to make a positive impact in others. Daniel's faith, his obedience, by trusting God, impacted the whole nation of Babylon. And what a difference it made. Your faithfulness will impact the lives of others. Verse 28 says, so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Osiris, the Persian. God has a divine destiny for each of us. And when we obediently follow Him, we will realize where we're going and what we're doing, and get that destiny that God has for us. And listen, there are a lot of people we'll take along with us along the journey. God's destiny for your life is far more magnificent than anything you dream. Just like Daniel. Daniel never dreamed he'd be prime minister when he was a prisoner. Oh, today, wherever you are in your life, you may not see where you're going, but God does. Matthew Bennett said it this way, sometimes your dream has to die so God's dream can come alive in you. It happened to me. Happens to you. He also said this, God's dream for you might be something that you never knew was in you until serving revealed it. Oh, what about in your life? Maybe you don't know where God is taking you, but God does. Will you trust Him? Will you just be obedient to Him and allow Him to lead you? Allow Him to be the one to guide you. And just say, God, I trust You wherever You're leading me. And I know the naysayers will come. I know those will persecute. Those will come against me. But God, I'm following You. Regardless, grow me to be the place that You want me to be. Let's pray together. Father God, today we thank You for, Lord, just the story, this narrative of Daniel in the lion's den. God, we thank You that it's impacted our own lives. To see Daniel where You've taken him from, where You brought him to. So many of us can identify, God, that we didn't have a great head start in life. But God, You're letting us finish well. It's been a long journey. It's been a long marathon. But we persevere. And God, I pray for your people this morning that they envision where you want them to be and let them persevere in their faith. Let them persevere when the things, the difficulties, when those weaknesses come, the temptations come. God, that they persevere with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together this morning.